Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here live from the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower of the Allstate Showcase Studios on 720 WGN. So the holidays can be very challenging for some people, more families than you might think. The conflict that might exist keeps family apart. Keeps families apart during the season, the stress of shopping and getting everything done. And joining us this morning to talk about how to mend those fences, coping with the stress, and even finding some forgiveness is Dr. Heather Sheets. She is the dean of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Good morning to you, Heather.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Did you miss being in Chicago for the Cubs? Are you a Cubs fan? I have to ask.
Yeah. I am a Cubs fan. I lived there for 13 years, and I'm in D.C. at the dean of our D.C. campus, and I woke my six-year-old son up to watch from the bottom of the eighth to the wonderful championship. So, yes,
it's history.
We are Cubs fans.
And we'll do it again next year. That's what I'm feeling. We'll do it again next year.
Let's hope so.
So the holidays, you know, and I've talked about this with so many people over the last couple of weeks about people already angsting about sitting down to the dinner table with family that they might not get along with. They only see them a couple times a year. The holidays offer plenty of reasons to be stressed out and anxious. The gifts you haven't wrapped, the piles of invitations, the office parties. But many, the biggest source of holiday stress is family, the family dinner obligations, and specifically conflict with a family member or friend. And conflict goes way back in time. It's been studied.
It has, Dave. You know, 90% of Americans say they are stressed out as they approach the holidays. And then combine that with 85% of us will visit family and loved ones. And then throw on another stat. A psychologist by the name of Leonard Felder found that 3/4 of Americans have at least one family member that annoys us. So you show up at your mom's house stressed out, cranky, and already annoyed with that one family member. So it is something that that we in the psychology field have studied for a long time. And there's a couple of things we've found. You know, to start with, the setting can make it worse. So as I say, the pull-out couch can make it worse.
Mm-hmm. Staying there.
Staying there. And just the routines that get disrupted, right? You know, the holidays are about special things, special food, special times. And so, you know, one of the things that we know is that adults and children, we feel better both emotionally and physically when our pattern of daily living, eating, sleeping, work, school, play, are consistent. And holiday traditions and travel can disrupt all that. We eat more sugary foods, drink more sugary drinks, bedtimes get pushed back. And the things that we know help us, like daily exercise, you know, maybe listening to your iPod as you ride to work in the morning, that can get thrown out the window, you know, during the holiday season. And now put all that on a pull-out couch with one bathroom and seven adults in one house, and you are in a great space to be cranky, irritable, and spoiling for a fight.
Now you say that. Now you're making me think, and I always do this when I have you or someone like you on. Is I always start thinking of myself, and I just thought next weekend. Okay, so this Saturday we had a shower with 40 people in our home. Next Saturday, I know we have to do the family holiday portrait. In the afternoon, we'd like to hit the parade, but that's going to be some stress and. The big lighting ceremony down Michigan Avenue Sunday. We want to squeeze in maybe having dinner with my folks because we don't spend Thanksgiving with them. They go to my other in-laws. And then in the afternoon, I want to get the lights up because it's going to be nice next weekend too. And I'm like, I just totally overblown my weekend already with way too.
Right.
And so what becomes fun can become extremely stressful.
It can become, you know, the scheduling of busy. You know, we're finding more and more Americans in general are when you ask people how they're doing, they say, I'm so busy. And the holidays can amp that up because you do have special things you want to try to work in. And then the things that you said, the holiday portrait, getting the lights up at the house, And so there's also tasks that we complete at the holiday season that are extra. But you're right, Dave, this has been studied. It's been studied for years. Sigmund Freud, who really is kind of the founder of modern day psychology, he actually started studying conflict, looking at ethnic conflict in Europe. And he found something called the narcissism of small differences, which basically said that the higher we are to someone in terms of similarities, the more hostile and bitter we'll be.
Issue with my mom. Okay.
Exactly. All right.
I'm going to lay down, Dr. Sheets. I'm going to lay down while we're talking.
Lay down, Dave. No, but you see this played out in a lot of holiday movies where families are sitting around a shared table, celebrating a shared meal, shared traditions. Maybe some of them look exactly alike, and boom, you know, chaos ensues. And so basically what this says is, you know, the higher we are in terms of physical, emotional, cognitive characteristics, we can look at those around us that people say, oh, you look just like your mom, you act just like your dad. And it can create a high desire for uniqueness. And so as a family member, we'll look at what makes me different than those I'm exactly alike. And the difference can be what you focus on and can really be the root of some conflict. So you look at your relatives and you think, oh God, I don't want to be like them. Look at our recent election.
That's my concern too, because I hear a lot of generational stories of my parents voted for Trump, I voted for Clinton, and we have had serious conversations about this. And now, I think it was, what's her name? Katy Perry, who said this week, yeah, but I'm going to sit down with mom and dad and have dinner. We're going to set that all aside. And so she's got the right attitude going into it. But a lot of people, that conversation can get pretty nasty.
Right, because what you see is the differences. So you don't you focus on the differences, and you don't see the shared tradition, the shared choices or preferences that they have in common, the history that a family has in common, because you're so terrified that, you know, in 30 years you're going to be a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Because if you're this much alike physically, is this the person I'm going to turn into sitting across from me the table? Another thing that this may sound familiar is called cumulative annoyances. So it's small things that can trigger a major conflict, and it's things that you maybe have been used to for 30 some years in your family. You know, your dad retelling his glory days of being a high school sports star, your mother-in-law reminding you she's an expert with crying babies. Small behaviors that are annoying, they don't elicit much of a reaction at first, but repeated exposure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I go back to the stressed out, you know, sleeping on a couch, all trying to make happy families, and your sister checks her phone for the 15th time in the middle of your conversation, and you've had it. So, you know, these become cumulative, and during the holidays when there's, you know, often shared quarters, there's no escaping some of these annoyances that we have with our family.
And then, of course, you talk a little bit about passive aggression that happens.
Good old passive aggressive behavior, right?
Yeah.
So taping a present so tightly, your brother spends 10 minutes struggling to open it, and then he's like, oh, you got me this last year, right?
Yeah.
Or knowingly, you know, ball up the wrapping paper, even though your grandmother is sitting there thinking I could save that and reuse that for her next year. So you kind of build on those cumulative annoyances. And in passive aggression, it's interesting. It's something people throw around a lot, right? Oh, you're so passive aggressive. It's actually something that was identified towards the end of World War II. And military psychologists identified that certain troops were having, you know, feelings of helplessness, and they led to these behaviors that were either stalling or aggressive outbursts. So passive behaviors that then could lead to stalling. And I think that the key point there is helplessness, right?
Right.
So when you feel helpless about the situation you're in, sometimes you may try really hard to avoid conflicts. You pull up and you say, okay, I'm not going to fight with dad. You know, whatever we do not bring up the election. And then, you know, 35 minutes in.
Yeah, you have to almost be consciously thinking about it before it happens if you're gonna prevent something from happening. Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of a good, so how do we, so you know, maybe we know why, right? Maybe we know why we have all this conflict with the people that we're the most similar with and that annoy us the most, and what do we do about it?
And that's
is a widely researched topic.
Yeah, and we're going to catch all that. We're going to take a quick break. But so we talked about some of the things that can happen and the conflict and so forth. How do we get through it? And that's the million-dollar question. And we're talking to Dr. Heather Sheets, and she's going to help us through that. And if you've got anything that you'd like to ask Dr. Sheets, 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this on 720 WGN. And Dave Plyer back with you from the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower here on 720 WGN. We're talking about family conflict in the holidays with Dr. Heather Sheets. She's the dean of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Heather, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the background on some of these things and what can happen. What are some of the things that we can do? Part of this for me, I think, is forgiveness. Some people hold grudges a very long time and they just cannot get over them.
You're right, Dave. And forgiveness is something, you know, it's been studied across all disciplines, across religions. And forgiveness is something it's an active state. So it's not one and done. It's an intentional choice that you have to repeat over and over and over again when confronted with a person that's hurt you, with a situation that's hurtful. And so if forgiveness is not something that you can force onto people. They have to choose it, and they have to intentionally focus on wanting to actively choose that.
Repeat it over and over again, like identified forgiveness as an intentional choice that you must repeat, what do you mean by that? Just that you just have to constantly approach that until it gets through, or?
Well, it's an active mindset, Dave.
Okay.
So you think about the things we talked about in terms of how conflict can start. Mm-hmm. If you kind of walk in and you say to your spouse in the car ride, you know, we know mom always says this, right? And she says this and we say that, and then people blow up and we don't want to do that in front of the kids again. You're kind of creating something called a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you forecast there's going to be conflict, you're more likely to focus on the things that will trigger the conflict. And so what I mean by an active state is that it's a lot of work cognitively to stay in the moment with yourself and choose what you're focusing on. Because regardless of the situation, you have control over one person, and that's you and your choices. And if you're choosing to stay in a state of forgiveness, and there's some steps you can do that, right? I mean, that sounds very kind of noble to stay in a state of forgiveness.
But it
isn't one and done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the first thing is focus on the positive. So regardless of what doesn't bring you together is to intentionally think about the traditions that you enjoy of your family from the holidays that maybe you've passed on to your own. So, you know, and some people will be very active with this and may need to write them down depending on, you know, how deep some of the conflict is with their family. So, you know, an example, feeling gratitude for a small moment of making sugar cookies with your daughter because you're remembering you made them with your grandmother. You know, teaching your son how to make a snowman and using the same instruction your father gave you. You know, families will retell that one Christmas story when your uncle was mistakenly given the much yearned for prayer hands that your grandmother wanted. And, you know, everyone still remembers when Nana said, "Those are my prayer hands." You know, those are kind of the fun things of the holiday.
Yeah.
And if you sit and you think, wow, what have we had in the last 30 years that was really fun about the holidays? And you really focus on that. That's a way to, as you approach the gathering, to remember what we come together as a family to celebrate. You know, the second thing is to maintain your routine. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, it all gets worse because you're on a pull-out couch. Well, you can do some things to take control of that. So if things start getting tense and you're like, I can't remember any of the positive things, you know, go for a walk, put your iPod on, listen to music. Don't have that extra cup of eggnog or an extra drink because you're starting to get stressed out. Because we know that when we get off our routines, we're not our ideal self. So try to maintain some of that routine even when you're traveling for the holidays.
The traveling aspect, you made a point earlier about, you know, the staying on someone's couch and, you know, sharing one bathroom and the tensions and some. That's one thing that I think I've just learned over my 49 years on the planet is that sometimes when I go stay out of state and go somewhere else for the holidays, is that I am much more comfortable, and I'll just figure out a way. I'll budget for it and to stay at a hotel, because then I know I have a good place I can go just to relax and decompress and release some of that inner stress. And that's a great example. I mean, you know, if you can't afford to, I understand that as well. But, you know, a lot of people travel for the holidays and they stay with grandma and grandpa or whatever it might be. You know, maybe half of it you stay, half of it you don't or whatever. But there's little things that you can do yourself that you do have control over.
Right. And really limiting, you know, Your example of staying in a hotel is great because then you have a place that you control when you come back, your environment. But you're right, not everyone could afford to do that. So maybe you don't do all of the things they expect you to do each holiday because you want to come for one dinner and really enjoy it. Because if you know if you sign on for the whole weekend, you won't enjoy any of it.
Right.
And that's part of about having kind of realistic expectations. That's another thing, is that, you know, if you are coming from a family where there's been generations of conflict because of, you know, life choices or really different kind of fundamental beliefs, have realistic expectations that, you know, there's going to be moments that aren't the Norman Rockwell moment, and you could have an argument with a family member, but you have the choice to pull yourself back and kind of go back to the commitment you made yourself of not repeating some of those behaviors, you know, that lead to that. And another one is staying in the present. So a lot of times, you know, you go back home for the holidays and you're with people that you spent 18, 20 years with in those early fundamental years of your life. And it's easy to kind of, you know, we all kind of regress when we go home to mom. And it's important to stay in the present and really focus on you are an adult, you do have control over your behavior. And just because you're, you know, back in mom and dad's home doesn't mean that, you know, what they say is how you view yourself.
Sure.
And then I think the other piece is really start some family traditions that are happy. If you don't have a lot of happy traditions with your specific family, start some that are happy. And some of that is deciding what you want your holiday traditions to be and not just kind of repeating some unhealthy ones that maybe your family has all passed on down to you.
Love that. Love that. And I've got a caller on the line. Carolyn, you're on 720 WGN. You have a question for Dr. Sheets.
Yes. Good morning. Kind of holiday-ish, a little different. I was saying I moved to Florida. I have a girlfriend from college years ago. I invited her down. She's coming the first week of December. That's her birthday. We're not that close. I mean, we text a few times a year. We went to Penn State. They're doing well. They may end up at the Gator Bowl here down in Tampa. So then she texts to come to the game. Well, my family's already booked. My brothers and sisters, they're waiting for this. So I thought about it yesterday, and then I texted her back, and I said, you know, I'll be hosting in December, so I think at this time, no. She had put it that she just wanted to go to the game with us. She'll stay elsewhere because I'm in a condo. But I know that if I said yes, then I'm like bringing to everything. And so now, after I thought I said it nicely, because I am hosting her and we're not that close, but now I'm the one feeling guilty, like I'm doing wrong. And I think I'm being very generous to her.
That's a hard situation, right? Because you're also reconnecting, and it sounds like it's a friendship that maybe has a shared history, but not a lot in the present. You know, Carolyn,
well, exactly.
One thing, yeah, and I think this might be where you have to make really clear requests, and you might have to say, you know, I just really want to clarify what I can offer when you're down here because I've got my own family. And having that, part of this is having that uncomfortable conversation maybe ahead of time so you don't get in the space in the moment and people's feelings get hurt in the moment. And then, you know, if you're hosting her or spending time with her, that time gets ruined. So, you know, text can be a good way to communicate sometimes, but there can be a lot of miscommunication via text. So my recommendation is
yes,
to pick up the phone and call her and have a good old fashioned
How do you get rid of though the, okay, you know, Carolyn was saying she feels guilty, you know, how do you, that's part of
I
the,
do.
How do you get rid of that guilt? Like, what do you say to yourself to not say this isn't something I need to be responsible for?
You know, part of how I said forgiveness is an intentional choice. Well, part of forgiveness comes accepting what your emotional response is to yourself. And, you know, in this situation, acknowledging that I do feel guilty about this. And I feel guilty that there may be some misunderstanding of what I can offer you. And you may have to say that on the phone, but it's also something you may have to keep repeating to yourself. And just acknowledge that, yeah, I feel guilty about this.
Okay, because I guess, and then now when you're talking, now I'm feeling like I have this resentment. Cause like I said, we were in college together 35 years ago. When I moved to St. Petersburg, Florida 2 years ago, all of a sudden I was her best friend again. Then I had to go back to Chicago for work. Then I came here again, and all of a sudden I'm her best friend. And that happened 2 years ago. She visited in October. She literally texted me from the airport saying, I'm sitting on the tarmac. I'd like to come back in January. And it just threw me for a loop. Back then, I said, well, my family hasn't even been here. And I have a large family. So I said, other family and friends will get to come first.
You make a lot of friends when you live in Florida, don't you?
I do. Yes. It's amazing. Which is fine. But when it's my family, I really want to spend just a few days with my brothers and sisters alone.
Sure.
So I'll call her. I think that's great. I appreciate that.
Awesome, Carolyn. Thanks so much. Have a great Thanksgiving and a great holiday as well.
Oh, you guys too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Dr. Heather Sheets, thank you so much. What great advice to get through the holiday season. I want to ask you one more question, though. The stress itself of preparing for the holidays, the gift wrapping, the cookie baking, and some of this should be fun. But it is also very stressful. How do you get through that?
You know, Dave, I think it goes back to really sitting down and thinking about what do you want your holiday season to be? And maybe not every room of your house gets decorated. Maybe not every cookie gets frosted. But if you identify first what's a priority for me this holiday season and stay true to those priorities, it may be more enjoyable for you when you do choose intentionally what you're doing. And so I kind of go back to, I guess my theme this morning is intentional choice in setting clear expectations with yourself and creating those personal traditions that mean something for you and your family. And it may be differently than what others think you should be doing on the holidays.
Great advice. Terrific advice. Dr. Heather Sheets, Dean of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Happy holidays and happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Happy holidays. Thanks so much, Dave.